Flashback Twin Cities on Club 1220 KLBB. Tom Osmond here the next hour. With me, a production crew today. We have Tom Hsu and we have Kyle. We have the we have a whole crew today.
It's a very big show, you know.
This is a big show. We have we have a guest today. We have Barbara Carlson. She did radio for a long time over at 1500. I can't remember the call letters. Oh, that's right. KSTP, a different station.
It's not a little place that I don't think is going anywhere.
Well, it's the last 90 feet of St. Paul Brown University Avenue, the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And we have a couple events I want to kind of talk about here. Actually, these are past events. And one being a very special birthday for all of us, especially people of our generation. September 21st, 1983, Motorola made history when the FCC approved the Dynatac 8000X. Do you know what that is?
No, but that is a phenomenal name, and I'm in full support.
I want to know what marketing group was in a meeting, and they said Dynatac 8000X. This is the direction we're going to go.
This is a killer robot that was created, right?
Well, you'd think so, because that would actually be the world's first commercial portable cell phone.
Ah.
And looking at the photo here on the Motorola website, it looks like a killer robot. It looks like about as big as, you know, a Star Wars droid or that robot that Rocky Balboa had in Rocky IV.
The one that he would prefer to forget about.
Yeah, that one is right. But this phone looks like it's about 90 pounds, and I think that it had about 7 minutes of power whenever you put it on, when you went into your Impala.
Is this the one that had the backpack?
Oh, yes.
Or the carrying case for the battery charger?
It looks a little illegal, actually, because you're walking around with this briefcase all the time and all these wires and all of these devices to be able to talk to someone for 5 minutes.
I bet you'd get pulled over or just stopped by a police officer if you were doing that around downtown.
Yeah, I always kind of wondered who needed a car phone back in the 80s, but I guess some executives needed them. And it turns 30 today, the great-grandfather of all the devices we carry with us, and I'm as guilty as anyone else of having it on me all the time.
Well, I'm curious now because obviously, for a while, those phones were getting much, 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 much smaller and getting as tiny and compact as possible. And now they just keep getting bigger and bigger.
Well, it's tough to watch HDTV on a small screen, though, Tom. You have to watch the 1080p movies in your car when you're driving on a big screen.
Well, I like to, have a sense of danger instilled in those around me.
Yeah, I know. You kind of drive on the freeway and you see all these glowing lights in the car, and it's not, obviously it's 1220 on the radio.
Oh, but we'd help you drive.
That's right.
We're here for you.
That's right. Other event, 28 years ago yesterday, Dave Moore of WCCO-TV delivered his last 10 p.m. newscast. This is significant. This is from Dave's obituary in 1998. He unfortunately passed away January 28th, 1998. WCCO-TV began airing major daily newscasts in 1957. The job of presenting the 10 p.m. news was originally offered to Walter Cronkite. Do either of you know who that is?
Walter Cronkite, of course.
Thank you. Okay, all right. When he withdrew, it went to Moore.
What kind of man do you think I am, Tom?
Well, you know.
I'm hurt.
Well, you know. When he withdrew, it went to Moore, who held the job until 1985, until September 20th, 1985. With no disrespect to Cronkite, it's hard not to feel that we got the better of the deal. Moore lived his life here. He understood the state in a way that news readers could only regard with envious awe. This is by Colin Culvert. His work defined the community in ways large and small. So we have a clip from the final 10 p.m. news. He'd done that job for 28 years. 28 years.
Tales of tonight's AIDS announcement that some Minnesota children now carry the deadly virus.
A Mercy flight is ready to leave St. Paul for Mexico City.
And a computer is helping medicine make big strides in helping the paralyzed walk again.
We'll have those stories and more coming up on tonight's 10 p.m. report.
Serving and informing the Twin Cities for four decades. This is WCCO Television, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And now, Dave Moore, Pat Miles, Mike Fairborn, and Mark Rosen bring you Channel 4's 10 p.m. report.
Look, each time I try to make this point, I am charged with false modesty, but this is a point I should have made last Tuesday night, but I was in such a state of emotional upheave, I did not have the wherewithal to put it all together. But the point is this. One does not survive 28 years at this news desk on one's talents alone. He or she has to have help from two sources. You have to have a supportive employer, and you have to have a loyal audience. My longevity, I'm here to tell you, is the result of having been blessed with both. I have survived all these years in this high transiency business because my employers have refused to measure my worth by the fallacious standards of the so-called audience rating system. In my view, one of social history's classic shams. A hoax of such insidious dimension as to produce this circumstance in our community. A newscaster who has proved her skill and credibility beyond all doubt is suddenly instructed to alter her personality to accommodate the style of her co-worker and the whims of her audience with which her employer pretends familiarity. I don't think we should disparage that this very qualified newscaster's compliance with the order, but rather be outraged that her employer had the temerity and the gracelessness to even suggest it. It is a loathsome work condition that underscores my own good fortune. Under two managements, over these 28, 35 years, at no time has any executive here so much as hinted that my job might be at stake because of failing ratings. At no time have I been warned to lay off of this or take it easy on that. What employer, what manager of what television station do you know would allow his newscaster to get away with all that silly stuff you saw an hour ago? Employers such as mine are what keep audiences such as you. And I thank God, I tell you, for the both of you. Now, the other point is, we're running over, folks. Do not worry about the state of this news program. Columbia, DuPont, and Peabody people have already recognized Don Shelby as an exceptionally gifted journalist. And this one has had your solid approval for 3 years. And for the last 3 months, she has been carrying more than her share of the load, I might add. As soon as she drops that bomb, she's going to be in good shape.
Dave, it has been an honor and a privilege to sit next to you. And any success that I may have, it goes to you, and I thank you.
I thank you for your patience.
And I'm going to miss you.
If you want any help with the big words, I'll be around.
All right. That's going to do it for tonight's 10.
I need some help with the big words. I wrote down a few words in that last statement that I don't know if I knew the definition to.
You know, very rarely in newscasting do I hear insidiousness.
It sounds... a couple things. That was 28 years ago yesterday, and Dave did the news at 6 o'clock until 1991, and he did more on Sunday and some specials until his passing in 1998. Again, I know we've talked about this before. We've had Pat Miles on the show. We've actually had Paul Steig, who was the announcer there. Stations today are not going to allow someone to go on the air on their last day and just have free forum.
Even if you've been there for several decades, there's too much of a gamble to do something like that.
You remember the movie Network when Howard Beale had his moment and he had it. And I think that station managers fear those moments are going to happen or they're going to insinuate riots, even though right now this audience is so fragmented. It might be five people that might riot, but it's amazing that you look at a respected individual like Dave Moore and listening to that makes you know why he was respected and why he was part of our homes for that many years.
It's true that you can be a journalist and have an opinion of your own, be very straightforward with facts and how you feel, but still be able to present the facts as they are. And I'm impressed at him.
It's an amazing concept, isn't it?
It is truly bizarre.
Well, we had Ron Hanberg on a few weeks ago, and Ron worked with Dave for a long time. And I think Ron, we discussed this with Ron. Ron did editorials. And Ron's philosophy was a very ethical, fact-driven news organization, but he also did editorials. He separated his opinion, or his station's opinion, from the news product.
He would let them know, this is my opinion.
It's a line that's blurred, I think, with the several cable channels, with the the mix of information, with tweeting. And by the way, speaking of Twitter, you can follow TC Media now on Twitter.
Hey, very nice.
A little plug there. And if you like that clip, the full video and audio is at tcmedianow.com. Time for a break?
We can definitely do that.
Let's take a break. We'll be back with Barbara Carlson after this break on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220 is our guest on the line. Good afternoon, Ms. Carlson.
Don't call me Mrs. Carlson. No one ever calls me Mrs. Carlson. You can call me Barbara, you can call me Babs, you can call me anything but Mrs. Carlson.
We'll start with Barbara for now. We'll go to Babs maybe after the next break.
Okay.
Barbara Carlson, welcome to Flashback Twin Cities. I have a question I have to ask you, first of all. I think there are 35 mayoral candidates for the city of Minneapolis. Are you one of them this year? this could be the year.
Ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, I think that this ranked voting is nuts. I think the whole thing is insane, and I know a lot of the candidates that are running. And if I lived in Minneapolis, I would be supporting Mark Andrew. And I'm teaching all of my friends who live in Minneapolis how to bullet ballot.
Now, this,
that means you don't rank 1, 2, and 3, you rank only 1.
Yeah, this is an interesting, in case you do not understand what Barbara's talking about, this is a new voting system. I think it's in just Minneapolis. I don't think St. Paul has adopted this yet.
No, it's just Minneapolis.
But you rank your choices 1, 2, 3. The idea is to not get a candidate that wins with 37% of the vote, a la Jesse Ventura. And the idea is to go to your first choice and your second choice. But I think it's very confusing to the voter electorate out there.
Well, it is confusing because they don't know, and of course, when you go and try and listen to the debate, you know, there are an extraordinary number of people up there, and you just, it's ridiculous. I don't like it, and I think it's stupid, and I hope they don't do it again.
Well, let's talk about mayoral debates, because in 1993... you hosted a mayoral debate, which was unlike any mayoral debate that had been on TV. This was with the Minneapolis and St. Paul mayoral candidates. There's about 15, I think, running each time, eventually with some of your former colleagues, Sharon Sells Belton and others that came up as victorious. But you moderated a debate that was a little bit, we call it uncomfortable, maybe a little bit different.
I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about the questions that I asked the candidate?
The forum, the questions?
Are you talking about when I asked one of the candidates in the St. Paul race whether he'd ever smoked pot or not?
That might be one of them. It was, at the time, it was a little bit different for the...
It's different. I've always been kind of different. You know, I have never followed the line of tradition. So I did ask a candidate whether he'd ever smoked pot, and he was very honest and said yes. And some people think it cost him the election.
Yeah, it was an interesting debate. And I recall that when you did the Minneapolis one, you asked some questions and people weren't answering the questions, and you had to continue to prod them to answer the questions. And I think they were questions like, did you ever get a speeding ticket? I think they were pretty innocent questions. And then it went from there.
Well, it's, you know, a lot of people do not like to be honest. I mean, I could tell you stories about the candidates that are running, horrifying stories about some of the mayoral candidates, because some of them I know and some of them I go way back with, and I've watched them in operation. I've seen what they have done. So there are several that are running for mayor. I'm not going to say the nasty, rotten things that I know about them, but I'm just telling you, vote for Mark Andrew.
That's Barbara Carlson's endorsement.
Yes.
Now, do we have any tab-colored signs left? I still think you can, you know, jump in last minute here, and you might be able to get, you know, 10%, and you might actually be able to win with that.
Well, actually, it is so ridiculous that I thought maybe I should move back to Minneapolis and run. At least I would have the name identification and the credibility to run, since I did run once before. But I'm no longer interested in knocking myself out and going door to door and going. The job of mayor and the job of city council members is really a 7:30 to 10:30 job, if they're doing it right. RT is shots at every disaster, at every groundbreaking, and is involved in every issue. This morning, he is taking on light rail transit again. You know, you just have to have your fingers in all the pies that are going on, and I'm not interested in doing that anymore. I like your job. I had a good time on the radio.
Well, let's talk about that a minute. Our guest today, Barbara Carlson, a former city councilwoman, a former mayoral candidate, a former talk show host at KSTP. Tell us a little bit about where the transition. You were in the city council for 8 years. And
no, I was there for 10 years, and then I went on the radio, and I was on the radio for 12 years, and then I retired.
What was the transition from city council to radio? Did you go to them? Did they come to you and say, "Hey, we kind of like what your style. We want to bring you on board."
I went to them, and then they hired me. And at the end, I think I was radio change was changing into a much more sports driven type of station,
right.
And I became much more liberal as the show went on, and I took some really difficult positions with some of the office holders, and I think it was uncomfortable. I think, that I was uncomfortable for the Hubbards and for the station.
Well, let's
but I had a wonderful time doing it. And I would do some things differently. You know, it's nice to say at 75 that some of the things I said at 50 might have been a titch outrageous.
But that it sure brought an audience in.
I had a good time.
In 1990, when you started at 1500, this was kind of the dawn of conservative broadcasting because this was the era of Rush Limbaugh really had kind of taken off, and then
yes.
Every station in town wanted to try to, well, at least a lot of markets wanted to try to emulate that model of fire-breathing conservative and then bring on a host of others that could parrot that. And you had kind of a little bit different take than the normal hosts on your station.
Well, I was raised to be a moderate Republican, and the conservative movement left me. I mean, when I was on the city council, and at the end there were only two Republicans left, and I had to be kind of the spokesperson for the other side, and so I was a Republican. I was fiscally conservative, and at the time I was on the council, there was tons of money coming from the federal government. I mean, the Democrats on the council could not think of enough ways to spend money. So they truly were the glory days of bringing home the bacon.
Were you the last Republican on the city council? I don't think that.
No. Well, the last. Well, yes. I think Danny Shulstead and I left at the same time. I lost, and he retired.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's hard to think actually of Minneapolis having Republicans on the city council. Just the fact that the composition has changed.
One of the people that is running for mayor was on the city council in 1965. Dan Cohen.
That's right. And you, so you did your show at KSTP 1500, and I was going through some photos that I had, and I wanted to just kind of tease you, tweak you. I have a photo that you did the broadcast from the state fair from not a radio studio, but from the hot tub.
I did. I did it for a number of years, and it was exhausting, trust me, to spend 2 hours a day in hot water, which I spent a lot of time in, was pretty tiring, but it was fun to do, and I had interesting people, and people would climb in. I know Rudy Boschwitz climbed in.
I didn't remember Rudy Boschwitz climbed in. I can't kind of picture that.
I had a lot of people that were very brave to get into the hot tub, of which I am very, very grateful. But those days are over. Let's talk about what's going on now. Let's talk about the Pope. For example, coming out with a declaration of saying that the church is spending much too much time on gay marriage and abortion, and they should be broadening their appeal to the poor and immigration. I mean, I was delighted to read that in the morning paper, and I think it's going to bring a lot of people back to the church.
Are you part of the church? Are you part of the organization?
I was raised a Catholic, but I, like so many other people, said after I grew up and was able to use my own mind and make decisions for myself, said the church is too narrow for me.
Do you find yourself, like this topic and other, do you find yourself looking for an audience? Do you miss the radio? Do you miss being able to be here and be able to tell people these things?
Certainly I do. I mean, it is fun to share your opinions on a variety of issues. It is great fun to have an opinion and to really have a dialogue, to be able to talk to the listening audience. And since KSDP was conservative in its approach, I had a lot of listeners that disagreed with me.
But that makes for fun radio.
It does. I mean, I am never going to be too old for a good debate or a good fight or discussion or disagreement.
You know, there are some hosts on your station that have now moved on to other stations, and they're on maybe more comfortable formats. And one of the unfortunate parts about those formats is they don't get the diverse audience that KSDP had, where they get the calls that the screener had to take on, and they're all upset, and they have all that rage, and they call to tell you how wrong you are. It's not as much fun to listen to, preaching to the choir, preaching to the same crowd, because it doesn't make any interesting radio.
No, I think I think radio's changed, and I think it's sad, because I think it was great fun to listen to. But the things, you know, radio changes, and then it changes with what's going on. MSNBC, which is, I think, a great cable show, is not as interesting to me now that the election is over. I mean, I was drawn to Rachel every time she spoke on Obama. And now I find it pretty dry and boring.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's...
And, I tend to watch CNN more than anything else, just to get that pretty down-to-earth reporting. So I miss the excitement of radio. I miss the challenges. I miss the outrageousness. And really, when KSDP fired me, I thought that I would be back on the radio, that somebody else would want me, and I was very surprised that they didn't.
Have you done some inquiries? Is there still some?
Well, I've made inquiries. Sure, I have. But I think that I just am. I'm pretty outrageous, and I'm pretty hard to control. Talk to my two husbands, they can tell you.
One being the former governor?
Yes. And it was very difficult for him when I was on the radio, and I really took some cheap shots at him, some of which I'm very sorry for.
Well,
and it was a painful time for my children.
Well, and our guest today, Barbara Carlson. I'm going to stay off too many hot topics of the Arnie years, but I do want to ask a question. When you're in radio and you're doing this radio show, do you find yourself playing a part when you sit down and do on the mic? Was everything coming from the microphone truly genuine? Or
yes. For me, it is, because I don't know how to play a role. Mm-hmm. I've never been. I don't have what. And this has been very painful, and I have lost good friendships because of this. I don't have, it doesn't seem like I have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And boundaries say you don't say certain things about people that you care about and about friends and about spouses, and I overstep those boundaries.
It's people do get divorced, and most divorcees don't have their former spouse on a radio station 2 hours a day poking at their job, which is, I think, is, yeah, you have to give a little credit to Arnie. He did take it in stride most of the time.
Well, he did. At one time, a friend of mine was working in his office, and in the morning, they would cut out everything in the paper, everything that I'd said or done, or any reference to me, they would cut out. And I think he came in and finally said, "Will you stop it? After all, I was married to this woman. I know how difficult she can be. So just stop trying to protect me.
And just in case anyone does not understand what we're talking about, our guest today, Barbara Carlson, was married to our former governor, Arne Carlson, for 12 years. And, you know, Barbara.
A fabulous governor. I think, without question, the best governor that we have had in recent times. I mean, I can't think of anyone who is smarter and got us through difficult times better than Arne.
Well, you know, Barbara, I'm actually a little bit surprised you say that, because as a fan of your show the first time around, your endorsement wasn't quite as ringing as it is right now.